Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
With the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday morning, Thursday, January the 18th, 2024, 12 minutes past the hour, 21 degrees. Man, it's a heat wave here in Marion. Cloudy skies. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Talking about, I don't even know if you'd call them home remedies. I'm not even, you know, jumping in front of a cold shower to get your mood up and high, or putting castor oil on your body, belly button, aches and pains. I don't know. I'm not sure what you call that. But do you have any idea who's giving me this wonderful, wonderful advice here this morning? All right. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott. How are you?
You know what? I'm not full of castor oil, but I'm okay.
Hey, I you do drink that. They would drink it as like a laxative. That was one of the things, and they thought it was like an anti-parasite too. So,
you know, I'm just worried.
That was going back old days, though. Well, I don't know how many people have done it.
I'm just worried that as soon as I would say it's okay to drink castor oil, somebody is going to have an accident, and then they'll try to blame it on me.
Right. No, it's better to err on the side of caution, like many things. But hey, this morning I have a top 10 that I'd like to deliver.
You have a top 10?
I do.
Oh, my goodness. Your own top 10.
My own top 10, and it's meant to be in good fun. I love everybody involved, so.
Oh, it's got names in it.
Yes, it does.
Okay, I don't have a drum roll. If I was in the studio, I'd have a drum roll for you, but go ahead.
All right, so. All right, top 10 reasons why Marion's new mayor, Bill Collins, hasn't done an interview with Marion area journalist Scott Spears in 2024.
Oh, we're going to get in trouble already. I can feel it.
Oh, no, it's all in good fun.
Now give people the category again.
All right, top 10 reasons why Marion's new mayor, Bill Collins, hasn't done an interview with Marion area journalist Scott Spears in 2024. Number one, he's worried that he'll slap a groundhog costume on him and force him to parade around in it on the morning of February 2nd.
That's true.
Number two, he heard that Scott's nickname is Bird Dog, and he's deathly afraid of dogs.
Well, it could be. I don't know.
Number three, he knows that a lot of people that Scott has interviewed over the years are now dead, and he fears for his life.
You know, as soon as you started that one, I knew where it was going. Okay, go ahead.
Number four, he's worried that Scott will use words like contretemps, scuttlebutt, and androgynous, and he won't understand what the heck he's saying.
Well, I don't know what Bill's vocabulary is like, but you never know.
Number five, he heard that the secret ingredient of the groundhog pizza is politician.
Oh, you know, you'd have to talk to Bob about that.
Number six, former Mayor Scott Schertzer never told him the number needed in order to dial out on the phone in the mayor's office.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know.
Number seven, he was wanting to do the interview in person, but Scott keeps moving his studio, and he doesn't know how to find it.
We do try to stay ahead of the law. We move every so often. That is true.
Number eight, he realizes that if he does do the interview in person, he'll have to use Marion area transit to get to Scott's studio.
Oh, well, that's a whole different subject.
Might not get there. Yeah.
Might not.
They might disappear him. Number nine, after his pay raise was vetoed by former Mayor Scott Schertzer, he can't pay his phone bill.
Well, that, you know, it could be. That's right. It's tough to live on $74,000.
And number 10, like the groundhog, he's hibernating.
You know, let's hope that's what it is. I like it. That's a good Now, what inspired this?
Oh, I'm just, I'm a troublemaker, and I have a sense of humor, like everybody should.
You know what? This is, and I wonder, because Monday I'll be at City Council, like a lot of other people, and apparently that'll be a very entertaining meeting from what I'm hearing, and I wonder, after interviewing so many people who I assume will be there, Miranda, Jason, and the fact that they're, it's odd, but there is a pressure building up against Bill Collins not coming on this show. It's starting to become a thing.
Well, it is. It's just like, come on, just go on. You know, if there's, it's not like there are alternatives. I mean, are there any alternatives as far as local area journalists?
I think that there's a thing that just started up recently. I think, I don't know how well they're doing. It's tough to be on top of all that. The Star is still there, but I think it's mostly stuff that's submitted at this point. There hasn't, you know what, I don't want to say this is a recent thing, because to be honest with you, there, boy, how do you say this in a nice way? The people who I have worked with, who I like a lot, are not really people you would call journalists, and I don't think they would have called themselves journalists. I think they were talk show hosts, I think they were sports directors, I think they were things like that. I don't think they would have called themselves journalists. So I think for a long time, Marion hasn't had somebody who really dealt in news and news interviews. I mean, I think if you go back a while, I think you'd find that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And so that means, you know, the outlet to the people, as far as from a journalist standpoint, is your program. And, you know, they have a responsibility to maintain communication. And that goes for any politician, any topic or issue that affects the general public and local governance, they have an obligation to. So, you know, what started out as, you know, I guess a slight disappointment, I think has morphed in the minds of a lot of local people into a annoyance, you know. So,
well, it's just, it's shocking to me, because obviously the other I guess leg in this trifecta that we've got going on here clearly is Bill Collins, and I think it's fascinating, and I don't know, you know, maybe pressure doesn't affect him, but I do know that he listens to the show, because there have been some things that have made me realize that he does. And it's interesting that he has been radio silence, but it's also fascinating that the people seem to be saying, where are you, Bill? Why aren't you coming on? Why aren't you doing? Now, I don't know that that'll have any effect on him, but to be honest with you, it's very interesting that in this particular situation, which is why it leads me to believe there's something here, that people want to know. People want to know.
Transparency is, I think, the foremost duty of government. So any time that has the appearance that it's not occurring, that's when I take an interest. I mean, if you tell me what's going on, you know, people make mistakes, things happen. It's when you don't say anything, especially when you're a government official or a government body. So maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit more pressure from the public. You know, ask everybody, you know, that calls in, or have solicit people to call in, would you like to, and I think you have done that in the past, or, you know, how you have a workplace and they have the sign that says, you know, how many days without an accident? You know, you've probably seen those.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, maybe have how many days without hearing from Bill Collins. You know, we'll just keep track of it every morning. Be like, oh yeah, we're up to day 55 without hearing from Mayor Bill Collins.
Well, and I wonder Monday particularly, because obviously Jason and I are fine, and Miranda and I are fine, and I assume we'll exchange pleasantries when I see them on Monday if I happen to run into them. But Bill will be there, and, you know, I'm not saying he'll do anything, but at the last meeting, I sat probably 3 feet away from him, and I'm not sure he even looked in my direction. I don't think he acknowledged me. It was an interesting situation.
It was awkward.
Well, I didn't feel it was awkward.
I just felt that that's how he feels right now.
You're a very warm guy, Scott.
People, I am.
People enjoy basking in the greatness that is Scott Spears.
Well, that's true. That's certainly how I feel. But it was just strange because I was in the front row sitting right next to the mayor's box. He was feet away from me, and he never said hello. He didn't even nod his head hello. He did not look in my direction, and he knew I was there. I mean, we came in late. It's interesting that it's deteriorated to this, and I don't know if it's because he thinks I'm out to get him, which is not the case. I just don't understand how this has become what it's become, because I had a good relationship with Jack Kellogg, I had a good relationship with Mayor Schertzer, and I didn't always ask them easy questions, and it's bizarre to me that he and I have never even sat down since he's become mayor, and I haven't heard what his problem is. I don't even know, I guess, doing interviews with other people. I don't know.
Do you think that it has to do with his professional background in law enforcement, where you kind of do maintain radio silence, you know, during a case or something, keep a tight lip? Do you think that has anything to do with it? Because, you know, politicians are typically seeking the camera and seeking an audience. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I really don't know. I think it's person to person, because to be honest with you, Sheriff Bales has always been very accommodating to me. Police Chief McDonald has always been very accommodating to me, and they're both in the law profession. And I don't know. Sheriff Bailey was very accommodating to me. So I don't know what it is about this particular situation. I wouldn't say profession, because those three gentlemen have been fine. There's never been an issue. So I just don't know what has happened there. I would have to believe, until I'm told differently, that he feels that we are against him. And I'm not against anybody. Now, what people come on here and say, you know, that's what they say. I'm sure hearing Miranda's interview, I'm sure he would have rather she not talked, and we now know, according to her, that he told her not to talk. So I'm sure that wasn't a good day in his life, and I'm sure he doesn't like what Jason has to say. I would guess, and again, I'm only conjecturing this because I haven't heard Bill say this, but I'm guessing that's what it is. And at the end of the day, if they're going to come on and say those things, and I think he's just saying, I'm not going to come on.
Well, then do a YouTube video, or do some type of, you know, video press. Because it's one thing to put it in written format, but when you hear somebody's voice, or if you have it in, you know, video format, you see their facial expressions and their eyes, you know, that paints more of a picture to where you can try to assess, you know, the truth of what they're saying. But, yeah, I mean, I've said it before, and other people have said it. You know, he needs to come out. There just needs to be that open line of communication and that transparency within, you know, government.
Well, let me say that. I'm not saying that people should do this, because heaven knows I don't want this laid on my feet. But I wonder if somebody called City Hall and said, Mayor, because you can do that. I mean, the mayor is not a king. The mayor's not a president. You can get through to the mayor, or you can certainly get his voicemail. If somebody called or emailed Bill, Mayor Collins, I wonder what his answer would be as to why he's not doing the show. Hey, Mayor, I listen every morning. I've heard Miranda talk. I've heard Jason talk. Scott has said he's invited you on. Why aren't you coming on? I don't know what the answer would be.
How well can you disguise your voice, Scott?
I know. Wouldn't it be something if I think that would hurt my journalistic integrity if I did something like that. I just, at this point, he has become very silent. I do believe that the only thing that will ever move him to do it is if he feels that the public wants him to do it.
We want him to.
Well,
let's go, Bill. Let's go, Bill.
Well, what if you called him or you sent him an email? What do you think the answer would be?
I don't know. He'd probably say, you don't live in the city.
No, 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 no. I think and you know what? The sad thing of this whole endeavor is that would the questions be hard? Well, of course they would. There's a lot of heavy things on the table right now. But do I dislike Bill? No, I don't dislike Bill. I don't know Bill well enough to dislike him or like him to a certain degree. He spoke with me on election night. That was fine. We had, I believe the first media interview he did after he announced he was running for mayor, he did with me that week. He did interviews when he was police chief. He did interviews when he was deputy sheriff. So I don't quite understand. And at one point he did say, I will come on monthly. So I really don't understand what has happened. I don't know.
And you asked him like, hey, you're ready to schedule your monthly interview? And he, like, ignored you?
That's when it went silent. What happened was we had a discussion back in... I'm trying to remember how this all went. We had a discussion back in December prior to Christmas, before he was mayor. I think it was about the time Mayor Schertzer was doing his last interview. And I had said... I was trying to get him to come on then because we all wanted to know what this deal was all about. And at that time, nobody knew. So I was trying to get him to come on to talk about that. And I think he said he was busy at that time. But he did plan to do what the mayor had done, come on once a month and talk about the good things in Marion. And I said, well, good. I'm glad you're continuing that. And we'll go on from here. And then... as time went on in December, and that story kept getting stranger and stranger, and the pay raises became a bigger issue at that point, I was emailing him and asking him to come on again. And he responded for a while, and then he really, I think the last time I communicated with him was the day after Christmas. And after that, it went completely dead.
Did you get him a present?
I should have.
Maybe that's why. Maybe
I should have.
Expecting,
no,
like...
no Christmas present.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a strange thing. And I will say in the last communication, and, you know, I don't believe I should, you know, I don't want to say anything out of school here, but I do believe in the last communication that he and I had, I certainly could tell that the tone had changed. That, I don't know. It was just, you could definitely tell that it was one of those situations where I could tell that he was not thrilled to come on the show. That was my takeaway. Now, maybe it was something I said. I don't know. Maybe it was the interviews that were being done, because at that point, Mayor Schertzer and Jason Schauber had both appeared and said things that maybe he didn't like. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a mystery to me, except for the fact that maybe he doesn't like what other people are saying.
Well, I'm going to put this out there on the table, Scott. I'm a very non-threatening, genteel person. So I'm offering my services to moderate the moderator. So if he wants a moderator for his interview with you, then I'm offering my services.
Well, you know what's odd about the whole thing is that I think if you listen to any interview I've done, and certainly the two popular ones would be Miranda and Jason right now, I don't think I accused, I don't think I made a statement in any of those interviews. I think it was all open-ended questions. A matter of fact, somebody in Miranda's family, very close to her, came up or sent me a message. They didn't come up to me. They sent me a message and said, thank you for asking open-ended questions and not making judgments during that interview. So anybody who listens to an interview, I don't think could say that I have a particular point of view in this particular matter.
No, I agree with that. And you conduct everything above board, and from what I've, you know, and I've listened to you, you know, off and on for years. So, I think you're very fair, and that's all part of being in the spotlight. That's all part of being a politician. You know, it's not all positive. You have to address the tough issues, and you have to address them publicly. So, you know, believe me, I've borne the brunt of some of that scorn, fairly or unfairly, and that's just all part of it. So you just got to step up to the plate and take a swing, not just hang out in the dugout.
I think that's exactly right, and I also think that one of the sad parts of this is they're probably, you know, I'm sure Bill has a different take on some of these situations, and I'm sure that he has good things to say about the city of Marion, about things he's doing. And they're not getting out because nothing is happening. We're at this standstill, and Monday night, I don't know what that's going to be like, because we pretty well know that Jason has said he is going to ask some questions of Bill about this whole thing. Now, is he going to like being questioned there? I don't know. And it's going to be interesting to find out that particular night. But, you know, the invitation's there anytime he'd like to come on. And I hope he does, because clearly people are listening. That's one thing. I mean, I always have known people are listening, but to the degree that this story, and I was talking with Mary Ellen about this last night, to the degree that this story has gotten traction, she has said, Mary Ellen was telling me last night that people are coming up to her and saying, you know, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And with the news vacuum you're in, I mean, they have to be hearing it from here at this point, because there's been nothing in the Star about it. Or nothing anywhere else. So it's very interesting, the reach that certain things have had.
Well, we talked the other day about, you know, people that actually create posts on social media being like, I think the things I've read is something like 10% of the user base. So what percentage actually call in, you know?
Oh, it's very small.
It's very small. It's probably a couple percent, maybe 1% of the overall listener base. So, you know, and then people talk, and it spreads, even if they didn't listen, you know, when it was broadcast live. So, but again, I hang my hat on the idea that we have to have transparency in government, and we do not have it. We don't. Pretty much across the board, we don't have it. So we will either demand it and speak out, or we will just curl up in a ball and be subject to whatever dictates are forthcoming by government. So, you know, that's why it is important. And you can't really have a big impact at the national level. You can have, you know, a minimal impact at the state level. But by God, I think that you can have more of an impact at the local level. But that requires people to take action, but at least you don't have to go far to do it.
Well, I want to ask you about two things a little less serious here, but I do want to say this as we part on this subject, is that, you know, Miranda was asked why she stayed in that position at the last city council meeting, and it was a very short answer, and it was, I've talked to people in my family, and that was kind of it. And she said the next morning it was because there were a certain place to have those conversations and a certain place to not, and to do it in an open meeting would have been very difficult. And I think I hope Bill would take that same thought, because it's much easier to sit down unedited and live for 45 minutes and tell what you know and what happened than to try to do it at city council when people are throwing the questions at you and you're on a time limitation there. So that's where that is. But as far as what about this groundhog? Is this not turning into a mega extravaganza?
It is. It's going to be a global event.
I'm shocked. You know, we have live music now. We've got somebody in a groundhog costume. We've got groundhog pizza. We've got big giveaways. I mean, I think this is probably the event of the winter season.
It definitely is. I still think you should reconsider my suggestion about the Olentangy, though.
You know, it's funny when you said, for people who weren't listening Friday night, what tell people what you said.
Warren Harding spent his boyhood in the village of Caledonia. And when he was running for president, all these journalists flocked to Caledonia to interview the old-timers that knew him when he was a boy, just to get personal anecdotes and stories. And then he actually had an article that was published and went out on the wire. It was in, you know, New York Times and pretty much every major paper of the day. And he talked about his boyhood in Caledonia. And one of his favorite pastimes was swimming in the Olentangy. So my suggestion was, since this groundhog is Warren Groundhog Harding, they should take the mascot to the village of Caledonia, and there on the western banks of the Olentangy, they should submerge said groundhog into the waters, and when they come up, you wait maybe 30 minutes or something like that, and if the groundhog does not die of hypothermia, then it's going to be an early winter or early spring. If it does succumb to the effects of hypothermia, then it's going to be 6 more weeks of winter.
And I said on Friday night that I thought this was a great idea, but I don't know if we should do it with the groundhog, because there were people in Caledonia who I would like to submerge in the Olentangy. And, you know, once I said that, I thought there are several people that I know in Caledonia who might believe that I'm talking about them. And
one of them.
Well, yeah, right. So here's what I will say about that. I will say those people know who they are. Those people know who should end up in the Olentangy at this particular point. But, yeah, that I think Groundhog Day is going to be great. But what do you think about all this holistic medicine on the whole? Castor oil, cold showers to get your endorphins going.
When you look prior to the last 100 years, I'm such an old timer, Scott. Like all my references are historic in nature, if you've noticed, or most of them are. But that herbs and natural medicines, homeopathic solutions, that was what medicine was, and it had been for centuries prior. And people have this false idea that everybody, you know, prior to, you know, the modern age, the last 100 years, everybody died at age 40 or something. I think that a lot of people are completely oblivious to the reality. If you look at average life expectancies, infant mortality was much higher. So if a child made it beyond the age of 6 years old, life expectancy was about the same as it is today. That's a fact. But you had a substantially, you know, higher amount of children that died back then because they're building up their immune systems and that sort of thing. But as far as like using traditional medicines and natural solutions, herbs and that sort of thing, they are effective. But they've been supplanted by big pharma and the pharmacology of today, where it's all about synthetic drugs. They just want to push all those synthetic drugs, and then they basically condition people into saying that that's the only option or solution, because look at our advertisements on television. You know, every other one is, you know, Pfizer or one of those companies. So it's a dramatic change from, you know, even a couple of generations ago.
You know, I am not trying to push medication on anybody or fall into that boat. I know Scientologists get very angry with that. But what I think is, I just, there's something to me about this whole idea of getting in a cold shower or putting castor oil on your belly button or rubbing it on places you have aches and pains. And by the way, the person who's giving me this interesting information also said they make their own cough, sore throat medicine too. I don't know what it's made of, but they make it. And here's what I think. I think people, subconsciously or consciously, are fearful of medicine. I think that people are looking for a cure for everything because nobody wants to get old. Nobody wants to get, nobody wants to be depressed. And I think they feel, like I told you, I know somebody who was completely bipolar and completely depressed and completely needed to be on medication, and the doctor tried to get them on medication, and their only reason for not doing it was gaining weight. well, you're probably not going to gain weight with cold showers and castor oil. So I think this is why people go that way, and I think it does become a placebo in a certain way, and I'm not trying to criticize people who do it. I just think in the long run, it doesn't work, and that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, certain things I don't think are effective at all. But a lot of the basis, if you look at the chemical composition of a lot of our pharmaceuticals today that are synthetic, are based on compounds in herbal remedies and herbal drugs. But as far as new age, like healing and stuff like that, you know, take that for what it is. But, you know, we definitely have, you know, switched from a more natural and herbal remedy solution within medicine to all synthetic, like pharmacological drugs, like in a relatively short period of time. And now, you know, how many people go because they see a commercial and they go to the doctor, and then the doctors are getting wined and dined by the drug reps, so then they're getting incentivized in order to prescribe this particular drug over maybe another solution that would be just as effective without the side effects. And that's the business. So,
well,
you know, bottom line, you got to take your own health into your own hands in a lot of cases and be your best medical advocate. And, you know, that's generally the best practice.
Well, I just think that it worries me because, on the whole, I'm not saying people aren't over-medicated. I think some people are. And I'm not saying that here's the problem. On the whole, what I see happening is people have problems. They have very serious problems. Some are physical ailments, some are mental ailments, but a lot of mental ailments in society right now. And what is unfortunate to me is people are in the wrong situations and they don't know it. And again, it comes back to if they knew they were in the wrong situation, they would change it. So they don't think they're in the wrong situation. And they get this panacea for a second because they do feel better when somebody new comes in their life or something changes or they get a new job or something like that. And
that's the word of the day.
I believe it is today, okay. Panacea. And I believe they have that for, it can last a long time because everything's the first, everything is exciting, and it doesn't cure the problem, though. It doesn't cure the fact that you may be chemically imbalanced or have went through traumas in your life that have affected you mentally that you cannot fix. And also, people are getting older. I am shocked at the number of people who are petrified at getting older. This is why we have, but interestingly enough, they'll put Botox in their face. Botox and fake tans and hair dyes and all the things, going to the gym more often, and all the things that people will do to try to stunt the aging process, but yet to take some kind of medication to just see if that feels better, to see if that works that chemical imbalance out, they won't do. They want to go to the other stuff. And I'm not telling anybody how to live, but goodness gracious, maybe some of these people wouldn't be in the situations they're in had they taken a different route.
Well, like I said, it's very, you know, it's a very valid point. But as far as like a lot of the ills that people endure and I guess mental issues, I mean, look at the way we live our lives in this modern, you know, society. We weren't meant to be, you know, little cogs in a wheel without our own sovereignty and taking care of ourselves and our families, you know, being reliant upon, you know, handouts or whatever, you know, not having a purpose. And I think a lot of people lack real purpose.
Yes, purpose is, and I just want to mention Mary out there is listening this morning. She's saying, give me the drugs, proud of my gray hair. I earned every one of them.
I agree with that. I would never dye my hair or, you know, try to conceal any type of wrinkle or anything. Those are all earned. They're badges of honor in the journey down life.
Well, and here's an interesting thing that we're having this conversation, because as I said last night, I was with Mary Ellen, I was with Chad Clark, I was with Carrington and Matt, and it's that's a wide age range of people. And
Taylor Swift there.
I tried. I know. Hopefully soon. But what she was busy on a PSYOP thing, you know. But anyway, what was going on? Last night I had a discussion with Mary Ellen and Chad because they are both retired people. But they're still doing things that they like to do. And I said to Mary Ellen, I said, you know, how much did the money matter? I mean, her whole position was based in money, but how much did the actual paycheck matter in your life of success? And she said, I never thought about the money. And to be honest, I used to tell people that I would do the job for free. Don't let anybody hear that I said that, but I would have done it for free. Now, that's Mary Ellen, who arguably is the most famous person in Marion County history, certainly living at this point. And then I asked Chad, who got an early retirement from his day-to-day job, and he said, you know what? I liked my job, but I had no passion about it. I showed up. It was a paycheck. I didn't hate it. But now I'm doing what I love. I have my guitar. I'm going to Nashville. I'm releasing CDs. Spotify, over 30 million listens, 98 countries. This is what I was here to do, and it took him to retirement to find that out. And I'm talking to Matt and Carrington has a huge fear of getting older at 22 years old, worried about wrinkles, worried about loss of stamina, worried about those things. And it's fascinating when you've been through it, what you learn. And I guess it's just one of those things where time is wisdom.
It is, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't ever learn that lesson, that life lesson. They never accumulate wisdom, and that's sad because I think that is accumulation of knowledge, wisdom through life experiences, and trying to. I guess it would come down to obtaining enlightenment and everything that entails. That's, to me, the purpose of life. It's not just existence. It's not monetary in nature. You want, you know, hopefully you're going to not struggle, and you're going to be compensated well enough to be able to afford the standard of living that you need, but you're not going to be buried with your money. And anyway, if people knew what money was, it's just pieces of paper that's backed only by the full faith and credit of the U.S. federal government, which is not worth the paper that it's written on. They might change their perspective on life.
Well, I want to say this, and I think this is on the video. So when it comes up on YouTube, I hope people watch this. It's the episode with Carrington and Matt that we did last night. It'll be up in the next couple of days. And I'm paraphrasing what she said, and I'm not trying to give myself a clap on the back here, but this is what she said, and I found this fascinating. Carrington, when she was describing the fear of getting older, one of the things she said was one of the reasons she's fearful of it is because most of the older people that she has known do not seem happy. They seem like they're in a rut. They've got the kids. They've got the husband. They're taking care of the husband and wife. They're going to all the practices with the kids. And their lives don't seem all that. Their routine, I think, is what she called them. So that's fearful to her because she thinks that's what the future holds. And she said to me, because obviously I'm not entrapped in those things at this point. She said, you know, that's why I forget what the word she used, but it was kind of like a mentor, I think, or something like that. She said, because you always seem happy. You always see, you're not caught in those, that you seem to like what you do. You have fun doing it. When I'm around you, you seem happy. And that's not the case with most adults. And I never thought about that because I don't pay attention to how other adults are feeling. But I thought that was a very interesting observation on her behalf.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's very difficult, I think, to live with purpose and to be happy in the world that we live in, just because it's not natural in this digital existence that everybody seems to be absorbed in is not natural. The real things in life, you know, going out into nature and having the wind hit your face and trudging through the snow and feeling, you know, the leaves on the trees, that's all real. That is real life, you know, and doing physical work on a kid. How many people do physical work of any type on any occasion? Very few. We were meant to do that. We were meant to actually live life. And I think that you will feel there will be that therapeutical effect on people. But in today's day and age, they eat fake food, you know, they sit in front of a television or a screen, you know, when they're at work, they have their cell phones under their nose pretty much all day long, and they communicate with others digitally as opposed to having real-life conversations. That is not conducive to happiness because it's not real.
Well, and 2 points I want to make here, because I think this is an important conversation for the audience. Point one is that if you need a mood booster, ask yourself why you do. If you needed somebody to come into your life to make you happier, why did you need that? Because people will throw all those goofy sayings at you. You know, this is the one. I never met anybody like you before. You came into my life and my whole life changed. This must be love. Well, I don't want
to
poop.
People probably say that to you all the time.
Oh, Lord. I mean, gosh. The lines you wouldn't believe. But you know what? It's a little disingenuous to me, just because why did you need that? Now, I'm not saying you can't have that, but why did you need that? Why do you need a mood booster? So that's number one. And number two, and I want to give the person, I'm not saying this because I heard somebody else say it, but I can't remember who said it and I can't give them credit, but here's what they said. In life, people confront you a lot to say yes or no. Doing events, going and doing things, blah, 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 blah. And yes, we all have busy lives. I'm not denying that. But saying no moves you nowhere. Saying no, you will not learn anything from saying no. You cannot gain any knowledge. Nothing happens when you say no. Only when you say yes can you move and progress. It might not be you might even learn you don't like doing something. But you will learn something from saying yes. So I have thought recently, because I was this all came from being very busy over the Christmas holiday. That was the busiest Christmas season of my life. I lit more Christmas trees and went to more Christmas parties and shopped and wrapped gifts and did just crazy stuff. I mean, absolutely, it was Scott Spears Day. I mean, my goodness. The whole thing was just absolutely busy. The news stories that were going on. And I, at the end, I thought, gee whiz, because somebody said to me, they said, you know, you can say no. You can say, I don't have to go to that city council meeting. I don't have to light that tree. I don't have to go to somebody's house on Christmas Eve morning to watch a Christmas story. I don't have to go to Cleveland. I can say no to some of this stuff. And I said, yeah, but what am I going to learn from that? What am I going to take from that?
You lived life.
Well, so far, it could end at any point, you know.
It could.
Yeah.
But you lived life. Like, I don't know. I feel very sorry for a lot of people. And again, I think that for the most part, they're victims of the age and the day and the times that we live in. But people that just float through life in existence. And that goes to our conversation the other day about creation, you know, and how few people create. You know, whether it be an independent thought or an original post that they came up with, you know, let alone just participating, you know, in that sphere, which very few do at all. But that's all part of life. We were meant to be actively involved, physically involved, to have real relationships with people and conversations and be involved in the community and, that's the only time that it works. So if you like just try to float through life and exist, you know, what kind of life is that anyway? I mean, I feel bad for them, but they are conditioned to be that passive, like, you know, just person that just floats along.
Well, and your tribe, and by tribe, I'm talking about significant other, whether that's a husband, wife, because a lot of people just cohabitate now. Your significant other and your kids, I'm not saying that they probably should be very important to you, but they are not. They shouldn't be everything. And I know people will take that badly by saying that, but you know what? Don't shut everybody else out, because you never know where real happiness lies. But here's the most important thing. Who do you think's giving? Now, this is not as good as the groundhog, but who do you think's giving all this organic, I make my sore throat and cough medicine, and I have my cloves, and I do my cold baths, and my all this stuff, my castor oil. Who do you think is sending this over? Do you have a guess?
As far as an actual
person who I've been, who's been sending this to me this morning.
Oh, good Lord. Is it Carrington?
It's not Carrington, but that's a good guess.
Yeah.
She'd be one of those people.
I have no idea who it might be. But again, there is validness, you know, or validity in that. Like you say, if you go and, you know, I collect a lot of antiques, different things like that, and if you see old medicine bottles, you know, they'll be all herbs. They'll be all, you know, natural, you know, and this was all the way up until, like, the 20s. It's a recent thing to have all these synthetic, like, pharmacological drugs and stuff, like, on the market that's just taken over everything. So, you know, now if somebody says if you stand on your head on a, you know, full moon, then you'll get pregnant or whatever, you know, I would doubt that.
Well, you know the solar eclipse is coming, and it is leap year.
You're right, right.
How many pregnancies are we going to have?
Well, we haven't been doing a very good job. If you look at the birth rates, we're pretty much falling by the wayside.
November babies. Right. Leap year brings November babies, I guess. Maybe that. Hey, thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
All right. Phone lines are open here for another minute and a half. If there's anything you'd like to say before we wrap this one up today, don't forget Voice of the People with Linda Sims is coming up next 10 to noon, and Adam the Computer Guy 12 until 1. And I do want to remind people here quickly, as I try very quickly here, to say that the Gathering Place in Marion at Eastland Plaza, Saturday, January 20th at 5 p.m., there'll be a free show. It's called The Gathering Place. Go ahead, caller.
Is it George that's giving you this advice?
Not George, but that's a good guess. Lemon juice and olive oil. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
George is a good guess. Not George, interestingly enough. Not Carrington and not George. Any more guesses? Feel free. 740-751-4038. 20 seconds left to go. But again, the movie... Boy, did I read that poorly. The movie is from Linda Sims. Movie at the Gathering Place here in Marion, Eastland Plaza, Saturday, January 20th at 5 p.m. It's free. One more call. Go ahead, caller.
What about Mary Ellen?
Not the Mary Ellen, but a yes.
Like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism?
No, because haven't
certainly
heard.
10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism.
I've run over. Scott Spears,
well,
head for the dugout.
You look at it and you see whether it's valid or not, and then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.
And then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that